Amen. Well, what a privilege to be here. We've looked forward to this week and the time together to be here. We've been here several times for meetings, of course, down in the basement, and I think that's where they wanted to keep us. I don't know, but anyway, always been a blessing. Your pastor is certainly a gracious host, and we're so thankful for his involvement with BMAP. I have tried to get him to come and preach at our church. And if you would, you know, you ought to share your preacher. You ought to be willing to share him. God's using him in a wonderful way. And so he's had an open invitation to come and preach at Harvest. We'd love to have him. Dr. Burge mentioned this morning the retreat in Germany. And let me encourage you folks to really pray about that. We have taken several of our church family there. And it has done something in their life. Where else can you go and meet 130 missionaries all at one time? And to hear their stories, to see their burden, to hear about what's going on in the field. And I'll tell you what, anyone who goes certainly will come back on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one young lady that went with us last year. She's one of our musicians in the church, just probably 25 years old. And Jessica's been just wanting to find out what the Lord wants her to do. But after coming back from that retreat last year, she has sold out 100% for the Lord. She wants to give her whole life over to Him and to serve Him. And what a joy it is to see that happening in folks. And we so appreciate that. Thank you so much for inviting us. Thank you this morning. What a blessing it was to hear from Dr. Burge. I always love listening to him talk about faith promise. It's so simple. He just talks it out. And what a blessing it is to that. But tonight, I want to continue on, if I can. I know this is the ending of your month of missions. And so I thought about giving a message tonight. Hopefully, that'll be a help. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of John chapter 4, very familiar passage of Scripture, of course, John chapter 4. And if you're able, while I read a short passage here, would you just join me in standing as I read the Word of God? Then I'll have prayer, and then you may be seated. John chapter 4, and let's start at verse number 3. It says, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, once again, I want to thank you for this privilege of being here tonight, standing behind this pulpit. And Lord, I thank you for this dear church that once again, by their faithfulness, has returned to worship, to praise you. And Lord, I pray that now you would calm us, put a hedge about the building. I pray, Holy Spirit, once again, that you would fill us, give us that direction, give us the words even, that we might be willing to follow you in all things. Now, Lord, bless, I pray, the next few moments, and we'll thank and praise you all for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why does your pastor set aside a whole month for missions? I understand, I guess, that every week you've had a missionary stand in the pulpit and preach. So for a whole month then, your pastor, who I believe and know to have a burden to preach the Word of God and loves to do that, willingly sets himself aside to let others come in and to preach about missions. Why does he do that? Why do we talk about faith promise and think about the fact of giving not only a tithe, not only an offering, but above and beyond in faith promise to support missions? Why do we do all that? What is so important about missions? Why do we place such importance upon that? And I believe in this passage of Scripture that we've read tonight in John chapter 4, we find some things of why we place so much importance upon it and why we as Christians ought to place so much importance upon it. May I say to you that what you have, you're not going to take with you. Amen? You're not going to take your home, your car, your bank account. You know that. The only thing we can do is lay up and treasure in heaven that stuff. Amen? I don't know about you, but I kind of get a little excited as we talked about tonight, looking forward to what's going to be on the other side. And we get missionary letters, and Lord's blessed our church. We're able to take on many missionaries, and every once in a while they'll send one in and say, so-and-so got saved. I've never met them. But boy, what a joy it's going to be that day in heaven when we walk down the streets and somebody will come up to me and say, "Preacher, I'm so glad you took us on or took a missionary on. You supported them for all this time. I'm in heaven today because of that." I don't know about you, but every day I see that person on the streets, whoa, that's going to be an exciting day. Okay. Isn't it? That's better. All right. Yes. And so why do we place all this importance upon? Why do we think about the giving and sacrificing? I like what your preacher said this morning and kind of alluded to it. It's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Amen? It's each of us doing what we can out of what we have in order to help others to do what God has called them to do and to reach the world. Well, let me just share very quickly tonight, in the next few moments, why we place so much importance on it. I believe we do it because of four different reasons. Number one, because missions truly is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what he did. Look at verse number 4. It says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." There was a burden for him. He had a desire. There has to be something. There was a woman of Samaria that he, in his foreknowledge and understanding of all things, knew needed to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he himself had to go and be that witness. The very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is winning other people to Jesus, to get them prepared for eternity. I don't know about you, but if that's the heartbeat of the Lord, and if I really love the Lord, I want to be an encouragement to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so why do I give to Faith Promise? It's because I know that God wants people to be saved in every place that the world had. He must needs go. You know, there was a day in your preacher's life when God spoke to him, and he must needs go to Hamilton. There was a place that God had called him to. Brother Tricky, the same. Brother Burge, the same. There was a day in my life when I was happy being a pastor in a little town in Mannington, West Virginia. Man, Mannington, West Virginia, those people were the best people in the world. They didn't expect anything out of their preacher. The only thing they wanted out of me is to be in the pulpit on Sunday morning and Sunday night and preach the word. Other than that, I could fish, I could hunt, I could do anything I wanted. Man, I was having the time of my life. And then Dr. Birch called. And I thought he was my friend. And he said, "There's a church in Hagerstown, Maryland that's looking for a preacher. And I put your name in." And I said, "Really?" And I said, "Well, that'll be it. I'll never hear from them." I did. They came and sat in a service, and afterwards, they asked me to come and, of course, candidate. When I went to that church, I found that there were some problems in that church. They'd been without a pastor for over a year and a half. They had gotten away from the Word of God. They had allowed some charismatic influence come into the church. So I preached, I candidated, I spoke to the people, found that they weren't as loving as my people were in Mannington, West Virginia. And so I went back to my little town and I said, I'm not going. This is not where I want to be. And the Lord just wouldn't let me go. And there was a day when he said to you, you must needs go to Hagerstown. And I want to thank God that I did, because we had some struggles. We had some fights along the way. Some people left because they didn't like the stand. But I'll tell you, today God is blessing, God is working. And you know what? We've salvaged the church, put it back to be truly an independent Baptist church. Why? Because God's heartbeat is people. God wants to see people get saved. He wants to salvage. And we ought to just realize the reason you're here at Hamilton, if you're a member of this church, wonderful church. You know why? Because you must needs be here. This is where God wants you to be. It's the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. And it says, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. That's why he came, to preach the word of God. That was his purpose. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You'll have to excuse me. I'm taking blood pressure medicine. And love that stuff. It keeps my blood pressure so I'm not blowing up. But my mouth gets dry when I preach. So if I drink, you'll just have to bear with it. The heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Missions is his heartbeat. And if I love him, if I want to please him, then it ought to be my heartbeat as well. That's why we place importance upon it. Because that's what the importance the Lord placed upon it. Then secondly, not only is it the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ, but why do we put importance upon it? Because missions is the hope of the condemned. Look at verse number 15 of our passage. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She was thinking, I need to have what you're offering. Amen. I need that. The only hope that the condemned have is the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though many are lost and not recognize their lost conditions, the doomed in hell know only the hope of the lost is missions. They know that. They know that in hell tonight, they're crying out as that rich man did there, send someone. And it's the only hope of all the condemned is what you're going to do right here at New Testament Baptist Church by your faith promise giving. There's people in that place of Newfoundland, that's it, where he was from with all the snow. That's the only hope that those people have. It's the only hope. That small little communities, they're just as important as the large cities. There's lost people everywhere. And unless we're faithful, unless we give, the importance that we ought to place upon it is that we need to go and help others go. Recently, I have two ladies that are in my church that come and they sit right down here in the front, second pew, always been their seat. Nobody sits there. Yeah, you've staked the claim. And they're very quiet. You don't hear from them. They're not outgoing. The older lady passed away this last year. Both were single. One was a widower, and the other one just single, older ladies. And never bragged on anything, never talked about their life. And this lady, the one that survived, the one that's still alive, that when we were preparing for the funeral, she said, preacher, I want to bring you something. And so she came to my office and she had a plastic bag. And in this plastic shopping bag was this journal, a book. It was about this thick. It was a spiral notebook. And I opened it up and I began to look through the pages. And every page had names of missionaries and pictures of missionaries and people and preachers. And I mean, all through this book. And she would sit every day, the lady told me, and she would sit for hours and every day pray through that book, calling each and every one of those people by name and praying for them. You see, she placed importance upon the fact. Now, I never knew this. She never came and told me this. It wasn't something she bragged about. It wasn't something that she wanted others to know. But I'll tell you what, when she stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, she received a great big honor, because I believe that her heart, her importance was praying for others that were involved in missions. The only hope of the condemned is the missions that we have. Luke chapter 16, verse 27, 28. I already quoted from it, but let me say it. It says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may test, that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment." The only hope in a hopeless place is that someone will go and tell others of the only hope that they have. All around this world, people are in hopeless situations. A little while ago, I read a story about an agnostic professor who was visiting the Fiji Islands. The professor remarked to an elderly native chief, he said this, "You are a great leader, but it is a pity you have been taken in by those Christian missionaries. No one believes in the Bible anymore. People are tired of the story of Christ dying on the cross for the sins of all mankind. They know better. And I'm sorry that you have been so foolish to accept their story." The old chief's eyes, he kind of thought and pondered for a moment. Then his eyes flashed as he answered. And he said, "You see that great rock over there? On it we would smash the heads of our victims. You see that furnace right next to it? In that oven we used to roast their bodies of our victims and have them for dinner. And if it wasn't for those missionaries and the message they brought that changed our lives from being cannibals to being Christians, you'd be our next supper." Probably that professor was a little glad. Folks, what you're doing here in this next couple of weeks and over the next year in your faith promise is providing hope to the hopeless. And the reason we place importance upon it, it's the only hope they have, by sending missionaries. And it's a shame today that we're losing missionaries. I tell our folks, and it really bothers me, our young people today, I think, have gotten kind of off track. They want to be successful businessmen. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what God's called them to, wonderful. But why don't we put the importance back on the fact of serving God? The greatest thing in my life is serving God. And I'm so thankful God called me. The hope that we have. And then I think we ought to place importance upon it. And why we do is because missions, I think, is health to the church. It's health to the church. Look at verse number 39 of that same passage, if you will. Verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believed, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that indeed he is that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" I believe that this reaction was because of the fact that she was faithful. It's health to the church. Can you imagine now? There's a church being built in Sychar. Amen? It was a healthy church. It was a saved church. It was what the church needs to do. The Bible says in Matthew or Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the command that we have. This was the last command of our Lord and Savior as he prepared to go to heaven, was that we would be the witnesses to others, that we would be the ones to go into all the world. Oswald J. Smith, the great one, said this, the mission of the church is missions. That's the mission of the church. It's not to come and entertain ourselves. We've got it all off track today. The world's got this idea that we come together to be entertained. We're not here to entertain. We're here to challenge and to charge and to give out the gospel and then to go out into the world and do what God wants us to do. Missions is the health of the church. The healthier the church, I believe, is a mission-minded church. Oswald J. Smith also said, any church that is not seriously involved in helping to fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. Wow. It's health to the church. I don't know about you, but when we get missionary letters, and just like this one tonight, and how they're reaching out to different areas and touching other souls and everything else, that ought to get us excited. Amen? That's what makes us healthy. That's what we're doing. We're trying to build and fill heaven. You know, I have a theory. I don't know how right and scriptural this is, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe that God knows exactly how many can fit into heaven. Amen? I mean, he's building it, isn't he? Some of you are looking really strange at me. So let me ask you this. If he knows, let's just say, for instance, I'm going to put it in terms that we can understand. We're in a motel, and I don't know how many rooms is in that hotel over there, probably 30, 40 rooms, and you put four people in a room, that'd be, if there's 40, it'd be 160 people, all right? When they get 160 people in that hotel, you know what they say? It's full. We're booked solid. No more room. Think about this. If God is building heaven, and he's preparing a place for us. He knows exactly the size. The Bible gives us the dimensions of it. Amen? And so when it is full, I believe that's the end time. Amen? I believe that's when we're going home. So think about this. Wouldn't it be exciting if you personally or one of your missionaries that you support was leading the last one to fill up heaven? Huh? I've often said I'd like to be down at the bottom when the Twin Towers were still in New York. I visited there. And I said I'd love to be in the very bottom floor of the Twin Towers and witnessing to somebody. And it would be the last person. And when they bowed their head and prayed, and when they said amen, the rapture would take place. Wouldn't it be neat to go up through every one of those floors? That would be so neat. You see, I believe health to the church. There's nothing more exciting than seeing people get saved. Don't you agree with that? You know, I think we've gotten kind of accustomed to this, and we get a little cold. When it gets to the invitation time of a church service, it ought to be an exciting time, an anticipation time of who's going to get saved, who's going to make a decision. And what most times in a lot of our churches today, it's looking at, it's dinner time. I got to get out of here. I want to be the first one in the line of the restaurant. And what we ought to be doing is thinking, who's going to get saved, to pray for somebody to walk an aisle and get saved. Yes, wouldn't it be wonderful to see the baptismal water stirred? Praise God for that. Let's be healthy at church, and that's missions minded, winning people to Christ. Doing what God wants us to do. A church that has a vision for missions has the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. The best remedy for a sick church is to put it on a missionary diet. Doing what God wants us to do. The supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the world. And we ought to be realizing that. It's health to the church. It'll help your church. The more missionaries you take on, the more missionaries you'll get excited. Going to, where's that place you're going to? Yeah, that's the place. I'll tell you what, if you can, you ought to go. When you see that mission field and you see the need, you'll come back with a greater burden. It'll help your church to do more for missions. That's why I love that missions retreat. I go over there, I see those missionaries, I see the struggles they're going through, I hear what they're doing, and my people come back and they are excited. They want to do more for missions. The last two years, when we came back 2 years ago from the missions retreat, my wife said, do you think we could sponsor a missionary to go to that retreat? And I said, well, we could try it. And she said, well, I'm going to start taking up an offering in our Sunday school class. So we did the same thing in my Bible class, and she did the same thing. Last year, we were able to sponsor three missionaries to go to the retreat. And this year, we're on track to do probably four to send them to the missions retreat. And you know what that does? When those missionaries, those folks come and they meet those people and they get to meet them, I'll tell you what, it excites the church. It is important because it's health to the church. And then lastly, because missions is a help to the Christian. Look at verse number 28. And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? It's health and help to the Christian itself. Working together for a great reward in heaven. Those tracts that Dr. Burge passed out or had passed out this morning, I hope you're all going to hand it to somebody. And I hope that, wouldn't it be exciting when you hand it to somebody and you tell them about what it is, and they read that tract? Wouldn't it be exciting to see somebody come to church and sit here and respond because of that one little piece of paper you handed somebody and got them into heaven? What a thrill that is. You see, missions is a help. It helps me. It helps me in my responsibility. Just as he said, we expect missionaries to be out winning souls. Why can't they expect us to be doing it as well? It's our responsibility. Nowhere in the Bible do I ever find that the Lord gives the command to missionaries to be the soul winners and everybody else not to be. Each and every one of us is to be a soul winner. That's our responsibility. And when I get involved in missions, the more I give to missions, the more burden I get for missions, and then the more I want to be a missionary in my own house. You see, the fact is, God, I don't believe, calls us to a country. He calls us to a people. A people, because people need the Lord, not the country, but the people of that country. Canada needs missionaries. The United States is beginning to need missionaries. And each and every one of us can be a missionary. Each and every one of us. That's what you are. You go out into your workplace, your schoolhouse, your neighborhood, you're a missionary. And so the importance of why we do what we do and taking a whole month to emphasize world evangelism is because it's the heartbeat of the Lord. He wants us to be involved. It's a pleasure and privilege to be involved. It's exciting to be a part of that. And so we do that. You know, I heard Dr. Burge talk this morning about being in Moldova and no Coca-Cola. But you know, Coca-Cola is worldwide right now. In every place you go, you can always find Coca-Cola. There's a motto that's posted in the company headquarters, and this is what that motto says. Think globally, but act locally. And that's why. And that's what we ought to do as a church. Think globally. I want to give. I'm going to be faithful in my tithes to my church because that helps my church to do what's local. But I want to give to missions, because all around the world, there's people that are dying. The importance of missions. It's the heartbeat of the Lord. So let me encourage you this week when you sit down and you're looking at that faith promise card, don't think about how hard it's going to be or what it might take out of you or the sacrifice that maybe you'll have to give up a hamburger in the week or a cup of coffee. Think about this, the investment into winning people around the world. And how much more can I do for the Lord Jesus Christ? So do you place importance upon missions? Do you place as much importance upon it as the Lord does? Because it's His heartbeat. Do you get involved in it? I hope you do. Father, I pray, God, tonight that You would help each of us to realize how important missions is. Lord, it's not just something we say and do. It's not an add-on to our church. It ought to be the life of our church. It ought to be that which motivates us and guides us and encourages us and excites us for the cause of Christ. Lord, we realize that You are our great example. And through that example, You were the one who demonstrated that missions, winning souls, You are willing to go out of Your way, to go to a way that others wouldn't go, travel to a place where others wouldn't travel to, because there was a soul that needed to be saved. Help us to be found faithful. Help us to follow the example that You gave and to be missionaries in our own lives. Bless us now. Help us to place the importance upon missions that You do. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for all that You are. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother.